This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, June 28th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a report from Springfield on a rare party switch in the Illinois legislature. We'll also take a look at the forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. The state of Illinois might be able to avert a government shutdown as a temporary one-month budget plan is moving through the legislature. The Illinois House overwhelmingly approved the emergency measure yesterday. It's designed to keep government operations going. That's despite a lack of agreement on a full-year budget plan. The current budget expires this weekend. Several lawmakers complained about the lack of progress on getting an overall deal. But Litchfield Democrat Gary Hannig says making sure government keeps going next month is a necessary step.
While what we're doing today is not a final solution by any means, we all acknowledge that. I think it's an effort to keep the doors open, and we'll do that.
The emergency budget will allow the state to cover its bills and assure state employees get their paychecks. The Senate could vote this week, so the governor could sign it by the end of this month. Negotiations on trying to end the legislature's overtime session will continue in July. Illinois' House Republican leader says when lawmakers do pass that final state budget, he's hoping for some fiscal discipline. AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports.
Tom Cross says it could be nearly August before a 2008 spending plan is approved. Cross says many Democrats are looking for a tax hike, while GOP lawmakers want to hold the line on spending. The House Republican leader says regardless of what happens, it should not include the governor's proposal for a gross receipts tax on businesses.
I don't think GRT is going to come back. It will not pass the House. You know, we passed a resolution, 107 people voted against it. The governor can say whatever he wants, but rightly so, GRT is dead.
Cross says as August approaches, there's more incentive for lawmakers to approve a final budget. That's when state aid for schools becomes a factor. Cross adds there's been a lot of arguing in meetings between legislative leaders, and he says Governor Blagojevich seems more concerned with bringing guest speakers to Springfield on budget items like the Chicago Transit Authority than discussing the budget itself. Cross spoke to area farm bureaus in Champaign Wednesday. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Governor Blagojevich's frequent commuting between his Chicago home and the state capitol has cost taxpayers thousands of dollars, and a group of Illinois lawmakers, fellow Democrats, says that needs to change. Sean Crawford has more.
While the General Assembly has no authority to require the governor remain at the Capitol, members can certainly urge him to do so, and that's the crux of a measure a House committee approved. Rod Blagojevich, who is rarely at the Capitol during the earlier part of the year, has been a more frequent visitor of late. Still, nearly each time, he's flown down from Chicago, then back home at night. Democrat Corrine Gordon of Coal City says it's an issue with the public, including at a recent talk she had with senior citizens in her district.
Why is the governor riding back and forth in an airplane on a daily basis? That was the one thing that came up when any question at all could have been answered about the affairs of the state.
An investigation of travel records found the governor's daily flights cost taxpayers about $6,000 a day. Blagojevich uses the state plane, even though he could stay at the executive mansion, located only a couple of blocks from his Springfield office. Democrat Jack Franks of Woodstock says the governor should stay close to the Capitol so he could better focus on issues such as budget negotiations.
The governor is certainly welcome to live anywhere he wants in this great state of ours, but I don't think the state, the taxpayers, ought to be paying for his commuting costs.
Franks adds the governor should pay taxes on the benefit he receives from taking a plane. He says he'll possibly introduce a measure to make sure that happens. A governor spokesperson responds the House has more important items it should be dealing with. I'm Sean Crawford.
The two men involved in a hostage situation in Arcola last week face a long list of charges. Yusef Brown and William Thompson were arraigned yesterday in a small courtroom inside the Douglas County Jail. The procedure was moved there from the county courthouse. The two are accused of shooting Douglas County Chief Sheriff's Deputy Tommy Martin, who remains in critical condition this morning. The shooting took place during a police chase that preceded the hostage situation inside Arcola's first Mid-Illinois Bank branch. They're due back before a judge July 13th. Consultants working on a master plan for development around the new Curtis Road interchange in Champaign say they envision a balanced mix of retail, commercial, and residential development while avoiding congestion. Champaign City Council endorsed the consultants' work this week. Neighbors of the area to be developed voiced concerns that the area would become as crowded as the North Prospect shopping district. Sam Banks, one of a group of residents from the Rolling Acres subdivision who attended the meeting this week, said he wondered if the city would be able to stick to the plan.
This is going to be, as stated, a 10-15-year project. Folks who are in the room now may not be in the room 5-10 years from now.
But Planning Director Bruce Knight said he expects the Curtis Road plan will hold steady even as city personnel come and go.
While there's no guarantees the policy doesn't change, having an adopted plan makes it less likely the policy will change in a dramatic way.
Final action on the Curtis Road Interchange Master Plan is expected later this year, following a July 9th open house for the public and further study sessions by Champaign City Council and Planning Commission. There's one day each year when health officials spend extra time persuading people to get tested for HIV. That was yesterday. Even with extensive publicity, many people assume that they don't carry the sexually transmitted virus, and some don't think they can get the virus at all. But health officials say anybody who's sexually active and between the ages of 13 and 64 are susceptible. Jeffrey Erdman is the lead HIV prevention agent for 22 counties in east central Illinois. He says treatment for HIV and AIDS have advanced greatly over the last 20 years, but that's no reason to become complacent.
There are multiple strains of the virus that are going around, and you don't want to be reinfected with a strain. And oftentimes we will see strains of HIV that are resistant to many of the drugs that are out there.
Champaign-Urbana and other public health districts have a mobile outreach van that travels around the area to offer HIV screenings. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. State Representative Paul Frelick left the Illinois Capitol last week a Republican. He returned yesterday a Democrat. The Schaumburg lawmaker switched his party affiliation, a rare move that took many in the legislature by surprise. Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky reports on how the new Frelick was received by fellow lawmakers.
It's not uncommon for lawmakers to break ranks or to disagree with their colleagues. But in the end, the one thing that holds people together is a common bond of being either a Republican or a Democrat. When it comes down to the nitty-gritty, it's all about loyalty and being part of a team. Paul Frelick became a free agent this week. He says he made the move because he felt like the GOP treated him like an outsider.
My assistant came down recently to Springfield for training, and other Republican assistants ostracized her. And one who told her said, it's because your boss is too friendly with Democrats.
While walking across the House aisle to sit with the Democrats would appear to be a simple move, Frelick's decision cuts deep. The Republican Party helped get him elected and gave him committee appointments to boost his salary. Frelick was chairman of the Schaumburg Republican Committee. He was part of the team. But then again, maybe not. Frelick admits he often went against Republican leadership, such as casting a vote to give driver certificates to illegal immigrants. He says the final straw for him came when he learned the House GOP considered running a primary opponent against him next year. Frelick says he didn't make his decision lightly.
I leave, with some sadness and, fondness for the grand old party.
But once the decision was made, the switch happened fast. Frelick made his official announcement Tuesday. By Wednesday's session, his gold name plaque had been removed, then remounted in front of his new seat on the Democratic side of the House chamber. Draped over his former desk on the Republican side was a black sheet and a cardboard tombstone inscribed with the words, "We barely knew ye." A joking prank, but with a clear message from those who consider Frelick a turncoat. Like Republican representatives Ron Stevens of Troy and Randy Ramey, whose Carroll Stream district is next to Frelick's. They say Frelick's change betrayed the very voters who elected him into office. But they say the GOP will be fine, as Frelick was never one of the more active legislators.
We are leaner and meaner and better off with a member who, by his own design, chose not to really be one of us.
Can't lose what you didn't have.
So you don't think the public's going to say, wow, no. Republicans in Illinois are so weak that their own members are leaving?
No, not at all.
No, they'll say that the Democrats are so weak that they have Paul Frelick.
I concur.
They also call Frelick a political opportunist. Now that more Latinos are moving into the area and his district is leaning Democratic, they say Frelick's trying to position himself to keep his seat. Not all Republicans have hard feelings over the breakup, including Shane Caltra of Onarga, who says what Frelick did took guts.
in this business, you learn not to take things personally. So he did what he thought's best for him. So I just wish him the best.
And the political reality of things is that Frelick may have gained power. He's now part of the majority party. Frelick will be the 67th Democrat in the House, compared with the Republicans, 51. And Democrats control the state Senate and every constitutional office. That will likely bring him more projects for his district and better his chances of moving legislation, something Frelick appreciates.
I'm now going to be part of the process and look forward to having some role in shaping what we vote on.
And maybe Frelick won't feel like an outsider any longer. On his first day as a Democrat, handfuls of Democrats gave him hugs and shook his hand. One gave him the gift of a grill set, pointing out he'd been grilled so much lately, Frelick deserved it. Frelick says it feels like home. Still, right now, Frelick, a self-proclaimed political centerist, is in limbo. He was forced to vacate his office space at the Capitol complex, and as House Democrats scramble to find an open office, he has none. The true test for Frelick could come next year when he runs for re-election. Republicans will surely target his race as a top priority and try to win back the seat. Or will Democratic voters accept the newly converted Frelick as one of their own? I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Should be starting to dry out from our recent rains. A nice weekend is in the forecast. Our forecast for today from AM 580's Mike Sola calls for mostly cloudy skies in most of the two-state area with scattered showers and thunderstorms still. In northern Illinois, though, partly to mostly sunny, cooler and less humid as that weather moves south and east. The highs today ranging from 72 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the far south. For tonight, in the north, clearing and cooler. In central sections, scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms early, then clearing. And in the south, still mostly cloudy with showers and storms. The lows from 52 in the north to near 70 in the far south. Friday's forecast, in the south, cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms early, then clearing. Elsewhere, mostly sunny, cooler, less humid. Highs ranging from only 70 degrees near Lake Michigan to 83 in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, June 28th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.